Another stock market plunge. I'm Dave Anthony, Fox News. The Dow is down another 3+%. It's plunged over 3,000 points in 2 days amid concern about new U.S. tariffs on imports and retaliation from countries like China hurting the economy worldwide. Now, President Trump posted on Truth Social this morning, China panicked. The one thing it can't afford to do. He says the market will rebound and there will be a U.S. manufacturing boom as Secretary of State Marco Rubio gets an earful from our concerned allies at a NATO meeting in Brussels and pushes back.
Rubio told reporters global markets will adjust to new rules on U.S. trade.
I don't think it's fair to say economies are crashing. Markets are crashing because markets are based on the stock value of companies who today are embedded in modes of production that are bad for the United States.
Rubio says the U.S. cannot continue to be a country that does not make things.
That's Fox's Jared Halpern at the White House, which put out a statement that the economy is starting to roar after a better-than-expected hiring update for March, nearly double February's revised lower numbers.
There were 228,000 new jobs created. Economists were predicting 135,000. The unemployment rate rose to 4.2% from 4.1% in February.
That's Fox's Jenny Casola. What's happening with tariffs and stocks and U.S. policy has upset Democrats.
Donald Trump is betraying us.
Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer this morning ahead of votes in the Senate advancing a budget blueprint that includes extending the 2017 Trump tax cuts.
Billionaires win, American families lose.
But Republican Senator Jim Banks just told Fox that's offensive, and the opposite is true.
As teachers and factory workers and mechanics and working class people, that those tax cuts are going to help more than anybody else when you make them permanent.
The bodies of four American soldiers who died during a training exercise in Lithuania are being flown back today. President Trump won't be at the dignified transfer at Dover Air Force Base, but Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth will be. America's listening to Fox News.
U.S. Air Force Technical Sergeant Jesse Clark's military service came to an end after a chemical exposure caused a large tumor to form in his brain. As a result, he is paralyzed on the left side of his body, legally blind, prone to memory loss, and in a wheelchair. The Tunnel to Towers Foundation built this hero a new smart home to help him live a more independent life. Help heroes like Jesse Clark. Donate $11 a month to Tunnel to Towers at t2t.org.
Are you having trouble hearing? Hearing loss can devastate the quality of your life. Now, there's an affordable fix for you or your loved one. Rated the best hearing aids of 2025 by Forbes Health, Audion Hearing has the highest quality hearing aids at the lowest prices, just $189.
I actually like them better than my old $5,000 hearing aids.
I could not believe how my hearing and life changed.
Join over 1 million happy customers by going to audionhearing.com. That's A-U-D-I-E-N hearing.
Dear, has my honey-do list become a honey-don't?
I need to rent tools to do the to-do list.
Let's go to Southwest Lumber. They've got everything you need to do the to-dos, and they've rated UMass best year after year.
Get all your to-dos to done at Southwest Lumber, 1917 South Avenue B. Open Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 6 p.m. Go and ask about their rental specials, like half-day pricing on overnight rentals, Monday through Friday. When you rent on Saturday, Sundays are free. Call Southwest Lumber at 928-782-9867.
We're the comfort experts. People you can trust, ask our customers. That's why they count on us. Over 50 years of service, keep us going strong. We've got a name you can depend upon. Hansberger Refrigeration.
Hey, Yuma, good morning. Money Talk AM 560 KBLU. Derek Hagerberg, branch manager with Mortgage One in studio. Russ Clark, good morning.
Good morning, sir.
So you know how you ever see, like, when people try to look at their shoes, they make those elongated faces, you know, their mouth opens and they're trying to focus. I wish we had cameras in here because you make some of the funniest faces when you're trying to push the right buttons and look up at the screen. So either you need some pliability exercises, or we got to get you into
a radio for so long.
We got to get you into an optometrist or something. But it is the funniest thing. But why do people open their mouth when they're trying to look down at their toes?
Just because I know you're looking.
Got it. Got it.
Trying to amuse you.
So there are so many things, and you've covered a bunch of them before we got on. But there's so many things going on in the marketplace, and what bugs me is fear, and I'm hesitant to use the term misinformation because that has been misused by so many other things and entities. But there's so much fear in the marketplace. Do you think mortgage rates are up or down in the last 2 days?
I have no idea. Down, probably. Up. I don't know.
Okay. Well, you gave three answers, and there really only are two. It's either up or down. But, okay, has the stock market reacted nervously over the last 2 days?
Big time.
Okay. So when the big time investors and managers get nervous with their money, what do? They sell out and they go park their money in something safer, not safe, but safer and a little bit more secure. So where do you think a lot of that money is flooding to?
Bonds.
Mortgage-backed securities, bonds, et cetera. So why do you think the price of a bond is better, which means the interest rate goes down to you and I as a consumer? Because all that money's flooding in. So in the last 2 days, we've picked up – as of right now, in 2 days, we picked up 73 basis points. You and I can say a discount point, which is 100 basis points. A point typically buys your rate down how much? One discount point buys your interest rate down typically.
I think 1%, no.
No, I wish. About a quarter point.
Quarter point.
So in 2 days, you've seen, depending on the loan program, somewhere between a quarter and three-eighths of a point betterment just in 2 days, which is pretty good. Now, what's the other thing that people don't talk about in terms of mortgages? It's all of the loan level price adjustments and all of the regulatory issues that are built into that. So number one, are we seeing lots of people look at regulatory issues and I don't want to say governmental overreach, but you know, things that don't need to be in the pricing? Yes.
Well,
the answer is
hopefully
yes.
That's going to go away, though.
Everything is being looked at right now. So just in 2 days, again, back to the stock market, in just 2 days, as the stock market has had some issues because it's emotional, not tactical, has any fundamental on any of the companies changed in the last 48 hours?
No.
Wait. You're saying sales, profit margin, labor cost, input resource, none of that has changed in 48 hours, but the stocks were suffering.
Right.
And that money flowing into the bond market is why we're getting actually better with interest rates. So as of right now, the Fannie Mae 5.5 coupon, and I know this is a technical thing. There's several coupons that Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, or even Jenny Mae purchase. And so there's not a single bond. There's various coupon rates. So the 5.5 Fannie Mae 30-year fixed coupon is currently selling for 32 basis points more than it closed the market at yesterday.
Okay.
Okay, so 32 basis points is about a third of a discount point to you and I. So could that move interest rates somewhere between a tenth to an eighth? Yeah.
Not a lot.
But it's the direction that you can see. Again, it's the barometer of which way are the winds blowing. And why is any of this happening?
It's emotion.
It's fear. So again, my phone was blowing up yesterday. Oh my gosh, Derek, is the housing market going to crash?
Really? Is that what they thought?
Yeah. I had
why,
a family.
Why?
Just because that's the only, it's the toilet paper thing. Why did everybody run right out during COVID and stock up on toilet paper? Because it became an emotional thing that as soon as, if you and I said, you know what? We're going to go buy 27 steaks a day, and we started telling all of our friends to buy 27 steaks. Would there start to be a run on beef?
Probably.
Same thing. I mean, you've seen the movie Mary Poppins, right? Okay. You know, girl went in, or the kid went in, wanted his toppings, yelled something about toppings, everybody else fear and trepidation. All of a sudden, there's a run on the bank. Why? Because one kid was mad at his dad for not giving him the toppings, for crying out loud. That's the same thing with the toilet paper and COVID. It's the same thing that's happening here. Is I have people calling going, Derek, is there going to be a housing crash because of tariffs? Why would there be? Number one, you guys take everything, turn the TV off. Do you see people moving here to Yuma? Yep. Do you see good jobs in Yuma? the military installations, the hospital, the border patrol. I'm pretty sure we're building another distribution facility here, right?
Right, for Amazon, a small one, and there's some building going on 4th Avenue. And
so when you see places like Amazon building a distribution plant here, do you see the economy going down here in Yuma?
No.
No. So I don't need, whether it's Fox or CNN, I don't care which one, I don't need them telling me whether the market is doing good or bad. I just use my eyeballs and look around non-emotionally.
Yeah, so much politically driven, emotionally driven, and people get on the air to try to spool up the fear.
And isn't that's what bugs me the most is the people that are calling me are referencing various things they've heard, they've seen. What? Does anybody say home prices are coming down?
No. Nope. I haven't heard it.
If you go to the Association of Realtors nationwide, if you go to the Mortgage Bankers Association, you look at whether, I mean, again, some of these are private companies. You look at Zillow, go on, you know, what is the statistical estimate that all of these places are giving you? And if it's somewhere between 2% and 4%, nobody's saying, oh, nationwide, there's going to be this drop in housing prices. But why does the little guy, the yous, the me's, the people, you know, locally, why is that fear there? Because that's the only thing they can control is their domicile, if you will, which is the toilet paper thing from COVID. You know, people felt like they were more in control. Remember how we used to say hunting and fishing, I caught a fish this big, right? And then you wanted to catch a fish this big. And then you heard, we've talked about credit scores. That's the new hunting fishing thing. Oh, my score's 800. And you go, well, geez, Derek, mine's 805. You're a pauper, for crying out loud.
Yeah, step up.
Back in COVID, you heard people go, hey, don't tell anybody, but I've got 4 cases of toilet paper hidden in my garage. You know what I mean?
And you were hoarding Bud Light at the wrong time.
You know, well,
yeah,
you know.
You never know.
But that fear and that control, and again, don't get me wrong, I love to be cautious and overanalyze and look 3-4 chess moves ahead. But if stocks are coming down, isn't that the time to potentially look for quality things to buy? No different than, remember when house prices, when they really did fall, when house prices were 50 cents on the dollar from where they are now?
Oh, they were terrible.
Why did so many people get convinced to stay in apartments, to take a rental and wait?
They had to wait till it calmed down.
But isn't that when you're supposed to buy, when you see a good opportunity that is right for your family and your budget? And that's how I have to answer that question every time with somebody who says, oh my gosh, I'm going to wait for interest rates to come back, or I'm going to wait for home prices to fall. Mm-hmm. If it's right for your family now, here's an example. Have a young client who is working and makes very good money, not amazing money, but very good money. And this person and their roommate rent a $1,900 a month house. Okay. $1,900 a month for a rental, she could buy something very comparable, and it's going to be about $1,800 a month. Okay. It's not a huge savings, but you're telling me you're a little bit cheaper, and it's yours, and the rent never goes up. And if interest rates came down, which amazingly enough they have in the last 2 days, but if interest rates came down, you refinance it, and you get the payment even cheaper. But if you stay there as a rental, which she's been in that rental now for 3 years, and I asked her, what was your rent when you started out 3 years ago? What'd she say? $1,700. And then 2 years in, they raised it to $1,800. And then last year, they raised it to $1,900. So your rent has gone up $200 in 3 years, but if you had bought the home, it never goes up, other than taxes and insurance. I mean, let's be honest. Insurance is going up. Taxes are going up. But that budgetary thing for her, why hasn't – and here's the thing that we've got to get over. Why hadn't she bought before? In your estimation –
waiting for the right time.
Because the people who love that person the most are convincing them,
yep,
it's not right, don't do it, people get hurt, you can't do it. And culturally, here in Yuma, Arizona, there's a subset of the culture that says, you know, you don't need to buy, or you buy one home and that's where you stay forever and that's where you're going to die 50 years later. And using a home as a tool is not widely accepted in a certain, you know, culture here. And that's the thing we got to get over, is it's okay for you to buy. And if you had bought, your payment would never have gone up and you would have built 2 years worth of equity. If this person had bought 2 years ago, what do you think home prices were 2 years ago compared to now?
Oh, my God. 30%? I don't know.
Well, let's go a little lower than that. If you said 2 years ago, if you took out the run from 3 years ago, maybe 15%.
15, okay.
Even if you said 10, wait a minute. You and I are not making 10 on any of our investments.
No.
So had you bought the home, you would have had more equity. You would have had the same payment. You would be slowly paying down your principal. And you never have to worry about anybody else coming in and saying, you know what, I'm not going to renew your lease because I'm going to sell it, or I'm going to put somebody else in, or I'm going to turn it into an Airbnb, whatever it is. But that fear stopped that family from telling that person to buy a home, and that's the same thing I get each and every day. No less than a dozen calls yesterday. Is the market going to crash?
How would you even know?
Well, and that's the other thing is, you know, I've got a fairly good crystal ball, but it's not crystal clear. But why would you think that's the right question? Okay, number one, you guys over here that don't own a home, what are you waiting for? And you guys that do own a home, if I told you the market was going to crash, are you thinking you're going to be one of those, like, magicians that sell the home at the height of the market and somehow retain the cash? Almost nobody does. They sell the home. They put a bunch of cash in the bank, and then they go buy razors and boats and cars and TVs. And all of a sudden,
that's all true. Yeah.
There's nothing left anyway. So the fear, I'm not trying to joke about it, but the fear goes back to toilet paper during COVID. Why was that a thing that even the news media covered? You know,
I never did understand it.
But do you remember how many news pieces had Kimberly Clark, Johnson & Johnson, and all of the paper product, you know, Weyerhaeuser, what's going on with paper and those types of things? That was major news, whether we had toilet paper or not, instead of, hey, what's the market? Hey, Russ, how's your family? Those kind of things. What can we do for you to get you back to work? And so, no, I don't see there's going to be a crash in real estate. I don't even see home prices going down. And that was one of the other things I had people asking. Oh, with all these tariffs going in on products, does that mean that home prices are going to go down? Well, let me ask a question. You're, meaning this person, you're calling me asking if tariffs, which could make something more expensive, right?
Mm-hmm.
You're asking me if something that you're fearing is going to make an input resource more expensive, if that's going to cause the housing price to go down. I don't see how that's even remotely possible, because if what you think is going to happen, which I don't believe, if you think that's going to happen, that's like saying, hey, let's take any pizza restaurant and let's make the cheese more expensive, the labor more expensive, and the dough more expensive. Is the price of the pizza going to go down?
I'm going to ask Ronnie, but I think the answer is no, it's
okay.
Not.
So you know the price of a house can't go down. And oh, by the way, what you're asking about, let's be honest, does any tariff on any input resource affect a resale home that's already built?
Shouldn't.
So the answer is no. So how could a tariff in any way change the price of an existing home unless there's a whole market correction, which, again, nobody's talking about that, and why people keep bringing that up. If you look at homes, we still don't have enough supply. There's demand. And do we care about, and forgive me, because you mentioned Chicago, right? Do you and I care necessarily, and this is sad, but do you and I care about the housing price in Chicago, or do we care about the housing price of the community we live in?
Well, I only here. I have no interest in moving to Chicago.
So, again, the person who's asking me is not a worldwide investor who's going to pick up 10,000 units nationwide. They're talking about a singular purchase or two purchases here in Yuma.
Right.
Do they need to even be worried about what they're asking? No.
But they look at it as a trend. Well, if it's happening here, it's going to happen here. That
right.
Kind of stuff. Yeah.
And you stop and say, wait a minute, companies are moving here. Infrastructure's coming here. You have people moving from, you know, again, I talk to Californians. I talk to Oregon people, Washington people that are moving this direction. Why are people moving to the sand states and some of the southern states?
A lot of reasons, but quality of life, affordability of life. those kind of things.
I thought you were going to say your radio show, Russ.
But... And the radio show. I was getting there.
I mean, I thought that would have been number one. And that's where it's really difficult to say, wait a minute, we're making emotional conversations about something that it isn't. Right. You look at your budget. If you can afford to buy, buy. And if you can't, you don't. And you continue moving. You know, I've got a really good friend of mine who is in mortgages, and he's in San Francisco. He literally has a, Russ, how much do you make? And you give me a number. Just fake it.
$50,000.
$50,000. Okay. Here in this area that he's in, you know what? If you don't have at least $100,000 worth of income, you cannot afford to buy even a condominium.
Right.
So we're going to have a conversation. But when you and your family have about $100,000 worth of income, then come in and we'll talk. Meaning he's not going to run credit. He's not going to pull lots of verifications and spend money or ask them to spend money either way, because when a lender runs a credit report, there's a cost. And as a lender, you can pass that cost on to your borrower. He's not going to spend the money. He's not going to ask them to spend the money because he already knows with that one question, they're not ready to buy in the area that they're looking. So, but that non-emotional conversation is, hey, look, we're here for you. I'm telling you the barrier to entry right now is in that city, you need $100,000 worth of income just to buy a small condominium. Okay. That's a worthwhile conversation. That is it emotional?
No.
No. It's a very tactical conversation, and he's giving them exactly what they need at the exact moment they need to hear it, rather than how many other lenders are actually charging that person to run a credit report, because you can. They're charging him money. They're doing all of their stuff. So it either costs the customer or the company money.
Unnecessarily.
Unnecessarily, because they weren't willing to have the first conversation right away.
No.
Now, if you had said, hey, I make about 120, then he's going to turn around and say, okay, you can afford a condominium in about this price range if you have no debt, and you can afford a condominium in different price ranges based on what debt do you have. Tell me your debt before we run credit. And he'll say, okay, car payments, credit cards, here's what a rough range of purchase price could be. Have a conversation. And in 5 minutes, he can tell you whether you could fit into this box or this box, again, without wasting anybody's time or money.
Right. How much money do you have to put down, if
way,
any?
Way, kind of way yeah. more tactical conversation. And it's just interesting on my side how few people are willing to have a good tactical conversation, because it gets so spun out of control emotionally. And I think a lot of that's marketing. I think a lot of that is salesmanship. But a lot of it is just not caring whether you're going to take advantage of that person's. What's a credit report cost for a?
I have no idea. It's free.
Is it free? It's not free.
I can get it free.
Well, how could you get it for free?
I can ask for it.
You can ask for it from whom?
From the credit report.
Okay, so you can go get a copy of your credit report
right.
that doesn't show your scores. You can, from the annualcreditreport.com, you can get that. Doesn't show your scores. Most of us have a banking app that'll show you your
scores.
See,
my banking app shows it. A lot of the apps show it. Yeah.
Neither of those are allowed to be used from a lender's perspective, because you have to have a...
But it's great information for you before we get started.
Now you're talking. So should you be more concerned with your credit score and what's out there and working on the things that you can control?
Sure.
Or which, back to the toilet paper, what were people buying? Things that they felt they needed to feel safe and control.
Right.
And... did you run out of toilet paper during COVID?
No.
You didn't?
No.
Did you go hoard and stock up?
No. Someone did it for me.
So either way, you were okay.
Yeah.
And I noticed you still have the box of Kleenex right here on the desk. That. So again, you go back to the emotionalness. We're sitting here talking about the stock market, the bond market, and what's going on. And we're up 32 basis points in the bond market. Has anything changed for Wall Street in terms of bonds? No, the bonds didn't change, but the amount of money flowing into the bond market has increased because of fear and nervousness on the stock market.
Yeah, people getting out of it. Yeah.
Isn't that interesting?
And since you've been in studio, it's gone up 600 points.
Stock market.
Stock, the Dow, just the Dow.
Okay.
I'm just
so what is that? From a non-emotional, a tactical perspective, what does that tell you?
It's volatile. It's bouncing all over.
So have the fundamentals that anybody looks at, whether it's profit margin or employment costs or marketability? Have really any of the fundamentals changed in the last 24 hours?
Well, no, and the fundamentals look pretty good, actually, from this morning. In fact, that's something that Edward pointed out to me. You know, 228,000 jobs created last month, unemployment at 4.2%. Mm-hmm. He writes, the economy is still strong, even as Trump forces the creation of a fair playing field.
And again, you look at all of those, the fundamentals haven't changed. So why are we being so nervous and emotional about
what possibly maybe could happen?
Great. So what possibly maybe could happen, then yeah. I could be fearful that I'm going to drive to work and I could possibly maybe get into an accident on the way here.
Yeah.
Now, do you drive the biggest, heaviest tank that is the safest, Russ Clark?
No, man. I got a little lightweight Suzuki.
Yeah. You have something that is probably made very light, and if you got into an accident with, let's say, a Ford F-250, you're not coming out on top.
No, but they'd know I was there.
Well, part of you is there anyway. Yeah, but you know what I mean? So that fear of, are you, and hey, you've gone to the gym a lot.
Uh-huh.
Are you strictly focusing on a nutritional diet? Have you had anything weird to eat in the last 30 days?
No.
Gone out to the fair, had a funnel cake.
I've had some stuff that was not nutritionally sound.
Oh, okay. So, again, emotionally, we're going to focus on something we can't control, even though the fundamentals are great. But we will all, as human beings, go eat a funnel cake and it's okay. Or we'll drink that drink with the artificial whatever in it. Who cares? Or we'll drive something that, are your tires brand new? Are they
pretty
bald?
Much, pretty close.
Okay.
New.
How many people do you see are driving literally on rubber bands with no...
On a daily basis. They come into the shop.
So that does that put their family more or less at risk than the stock market?
I've had a lot. And I've had people come into the shop, wants to take a test drive in their vehicle that my mechanics wouldn't take to the foothills. Like, it's not safe.
Not safe.
No, no.
But people do it. Why? Because they don't see it. They don't look under their car. They don't look in the wheel wells. They just jump in the car and assume that's fine. But as soon as the news media says, oh my gosh, this is good or this is bad, then there's an emotional conversation. I thought the charts that President Trump held up that showed what our tariffs would be compared to what the other countries' tariffs were already.
It was amazingly eye-opening. And it had a great impact. It didn't stop the emotional trading, and it should have. It's balancing. It's trying to attempt to balance and level.
I did not realize the huge tariffs that are hamstringing our farmers.
Mm-hmm.
You know, again, what's happening to, say, egg prices and chicken to be exported, even to some of our trading partners straight to the north.
No, Canada is terrible on the dairy products and stuff.
No idea that cheese was being taxed and tariffed that bad just crossing the border to the north.
Yep.
And it's interesting that the people who want – oh, by the way, this was another one. Have you seen all of these memes running around and not being overly political, but have you seen all these memes running around of people questioning why President Trump – did not put a tariff on Russia and Belarus?
No, but I know the answer.
Okay, but I watched, and I'm sorry, I have to unfriend a couple of people because they are literally just so negative with things that they don't actually take the time to read. Look, I'll read. I don't care if the position is on the left or the right. I'll take the time to read and understand and then make a decision. But you know the answer. Why did President Trump not put a tariff on Russia or Belarus?
We don't trade with them.
Why not?
Because there's sanctions.
Okay, so there's sanctions that we're not legally allowed to trade with them as the United States.
So there's no need for a tariff.
So therefore, you can't put a tariff on them. And these people are sharing this same meme that says, oh my gosh, the president of our country must be tied in with them because he didn't put a tariff on them. Like, guys,
he sanctioned them, which is worse.
Yeah, do you not realize that's a... It's illegal to do that.
The people that wrote those memes know the truth, and this is just sleight of hand to get a negative opinion out of a political opponent.
And the people who wrote the memes, you're right, probably do. But the average person, and there's several humans that are sharing that, they don't even take the time to go, oh, my gosh, I didn't actually know that we were not allowed to trade with them because they've been sanctioned.
Right.
Wow. I should probably retract that or delete that. But that's where the – where did the logical conversation stop in this country? So, hey, speaking of that, let's have a logical marketing advertisement. So I know we need to take a break.
All right.
This is Money Talk AM 560 KBLU.
Good morning from the News 11 Information Desk. I'm Scott Gross. The Yuma Police Department is sending a warning to a group of teenagers kicking doors and garages. Police say the group has caused hundreds of dollars of property damages. They've done it several times throughout locations in the city. Anyone with information on the teens is urged to call the Yuma Police Department or 78 Crime to remain anonymous. And Yuma County residents now have a new way to protect themselves against title fraud and unlawful documents. Yuma County Recorder David Lara announced the launch of Fraud Notify Alert. Now it's a free service that notifies users when their name appears on a recorded document. The system aims to help residents stay informed about property recordings and potentially prevent fraudulent activity. And the 73rd Annual Yuma County Fair is currently underway. Join us on the TV side for News 11 every weekday at 5, 6, and 10 for all of your local news, weather, and sports. I'm Scott Gross.
Hey, you. Yes, you. Stuck in a boring job, ready for something exciting? How about a career where you get paid to talk, create, and sell fun? Join the team at KTTI, The River, and KBLU. You'll sell radio ads just like this one, plus streaming TV and awesome digital products. It's not just a job, it's a chance to thrive. Visit edbroadcasters.com and apply now. That's edbroadcasters.com. KTTI, The River, and KBLU. We make work fun.
Back up to 76 for the high today with sunshine, 55 the overnight low, clear skies, 15 mile per hour winds today. Tomorrow, 81 with sunshine, 60 on Saturday night. Average high for this time of year, 87. We'll be just about there on Sunday. Sunny and 85 on Sunday.
Investment advisory services offered through CWM, LLC, and SEC Registered Investment Advisor. Welcome to Money Talk with Yuma Investment Group's Tom Rush, founder, wealth advisor, and George Davis Sr. Wealth Advisor.
This is Derek Egeberg, NMLS number 180899 with Mortgage One. When it comes to the biggest financial decisions of your life, you deserve expert guidance. At Mortgage One, we know a home loan is more than just numbers. It's part of your financial future. Our team's highly qualified professionals provide a complete mortgage analysis. We'll help you explore the available programs and options to fit your needs in today's marketplace. The Mortgage One team will work to blend your mortgage needs and compare cash to close and payment options with various programs in today's marketplace. Place offering competitive interest rates to meet your needs. Again, Mortgage One, an equal housing lender, NMLS number 898812. Give us a call today at 928-483-LOAN, which is 928-483-5626.
And George Davis Wealth are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine what may be appropriate for you, consult with your attorney, accountant, financial or tax advisor prior to investing. Guests on Money Talk are not affiliated with CWM LLC. Investment advisory services offered through...
Hey, Yuma Money Talk, AM 560 KBLU. Derek Egeberg, Branch Manager, Mortgage One. Russ Clark in studio. You're throwing me off. There's no music going, Russ.
Well, I hit the wrong button.
I know. And remember how we were talking about when you make faces when you look down at your shoes? You were making some of the best faces. Like, what did I just push up here?
Where did that come from, man? It's like biting a lemon, you know? That doesn't belong.
That's awesome. So, you know, this whole thing about emotionalness, I get it. Buying a home, financing a home is one of the biggest, if not the biggest things people will ever do financially.
Usually, yeah.
And being respectful about that, that's the reason that, you know, you and I joke about having a cup of coffee or a cookie and just coming into the office and having a good conversation. That's the reason that I do it, because I didn't get that when I went to go buy my first home. I didn't, you know, again, nobody kind of coached me through it. Nobody told me what to expect. And then all of a sudden, it's this big, dark void of all of these various, you know, arrows being slung at you that you just don't understand everything that's going on.
I've been there.
And so, you know, part of the reason that I love doing this with myself and Bill Kraft and Rosa Castillo and the rest of the team is you see the long conversations and the blood, sweat, and tears that go into helping a client who really needs the help, as opposed to, you know, there's some online organizations out there that literally you can punch your stuff into the computer and they can run some online reporting. And if you're clean as a whistle and everything is perfect, it moves on to an approval type thing. You still have to get other documentation, but you never talk to a human. And if you're perfect, it just goes right through. And you also don't have the chance to ask, is this the right thing for me? And so the industry is becoming wider and wider with this cavern in between. You either fit with this online, don't talk to a human and accept it, or you've got a lot of mud and dirt on your shoes and you really need some help cleaning this off and fixing it. And what I love about Bill and Rose and hopefully myself is we just don't care. Let's come on in and sit down and let's work through things, even if it's dirty and messy. And it, you're laughing, but you'd be surprised how many.
No, things, I wouldn't actually.
You know, when you see people driving their cars into you with no oil in the engine, and bald tires, or the not only the warning light on the dash is lit, but it's blinking. Yeah. You know how many people don't, I mean, people in my office don't understand the difference between a check engine light on and a check engine light blinking. For everybody who's out there, what's this solid on light mean?
It means bring, take it to your mechanic, take a look at it.
It's, you know, yeah. Get it checked out. What's the flashing one mean?
Jump out, it's getting ready to blow up.
Okay, but how many people don't even understand that in the vehicle that they drive that, it's been flashing that way for like a month.
Park it.
It ain't going much farther. Yeah. Same thing with mortgages. There's so many things that there's flashing lights and solid lights that people just don't pay attention to, which is back to the one form that changed my life, which is the personal family budget. One piece of paper. I do a budget each and every month. And, you know, sometimes the family participates in it. Sometimes the family doesn't participate in it. But I do a budget and I just need to track. Did I account for everything? Is there more money in the bank account or less money in the bank account than when I started? And really,
that's a good quick, you know, dashboard.
Yeah, that's all it is. It's my dashboard, but it's a single piece of paper that if I told you you could save 10% of your income each and every month, would that person be in a good spot?
Yeah.
Cool. That's it. Start with 10%. And then all of a sudden, you know, as you make more money over time, you slowly ratchet that up. But is everybody going to have a life event that stops the budget from being perfect for a period of time?
Of course.
Everyone.
I mean, the hot water heater could blow up. And
job loss, company change, the roof leaks, the car blows up, I didn't pay attention to the blinky, blinky light on my dashboard. You know, there's always going to be things that come up. And when I look at a budget, you know, in my estimation, there's going to be two really bad months a year. There's going to be two really good months a year, and there's about eight normal months. What am I trying to play to when I'm doing my budget? I'm just trying to play to the average. As long as I know I can handle these 8 months and it's budgeted the way I want, then the two rock star months a year are probably going to offset the two awful months. Great. So for the year, I should be moving ahead.
After an awful month, you readjust your budget the next month?
No, but an awful month might be I'm going to have to take money out of savings that then I'm going to have to put it back in. You know, hot water heater goes out. What's a tankless gas hot water heater run these days?
$500-$600, I would imagine.
More than that.
Is it for
a good one, the big ones? Yeah.
I've been buying.
Okay, so you might have $1,000 or more coming out. Let's say I had a huge engine problem. Let's say I had to replace the top end unit and, you know, there's something wrong with cylinder heads and I had to replace, what, $8,000-$10,000?
Oh, gosh, yes, it could.
Okay.
Depending on the cars. I mean, so, I could replace a whole engine for that on some cars, and on some it's going to be, replace, you know, some engine parts for
that. Okay, so let's pretend blinky, blinky light came on and the engine in a typical, you know, Honda Civic is gone.
Uh-huh.
What's it going to cost me to put a new engine in the car?
I can get one roughly from a wrecked yard, $3,000-$4,000, rebuilt one, $100,000.
Okay, so plus labor to put it in, another miscellaneous.
No, I'm talking total package.
Okay, so let's say $5,000.
Yeah.
Might cost me $5,000. If I don't fix that car, what's it worth to trade in?
Zero.
So now you're telling me I have to put $5,000 into it to either continue driving it or get it ready to trade
in. Depending on the car now. If the car is worth $2,000 and if it's running well, don't put $5,000 in it. If it's worth $15,000, you better put $5,000 in it.
So that's a tactical conversation, not an emotional
one. I've had people bring me cars and I'll say, don't fix it. Mm-hmm. Take it over to Reliable. They'll give you scrap value.
So if I look at the budget, back to where we were going, this whole non-emotional tactical conversation, I know there's going to be a budget month that comes up that there's something like that. An AC goes out, a hot water heater goes out, something weirdo happens. I have to have the money to fix it, which is the reason you budget and save every month anyway.
Oh, yeah. You never know when those are going to hit.
And you know what? Maybe you have one bad month and 11 good months for the year, and it actually paid itself back and you're still averaging the right direction. That's all I'm saying is the budget changed everything for me. I wish somebody would have sat down with me when I first started and said, hey, dude, do a personal family budget and start tracking this stuff. Because at age 20, if you started this, you know where you could be at age 50.
So many people do not. And they don't budget. They don't look at it. They don't know because they don't want to. It's kind of like you don't want to go to the doctor because I don't want to find out I got cancer.
And and that is... That is the most interesting thing to me, because when I stop and look at the people that don't know that, but they know everything on the news media.
Yeah.
They know everything about whichever side they want to look at. Yeah. The sky is falling. The sky is great. You know, the whatever it is, just stop the negativity for a minute. And again, back to the people who literally are saying goods and bads, does it matter at the end of the day? You can be horrible to your neighbor because of a political affiliation. How about work on the budget, work on whether you should buy a home, work on investing, be non-emotional about it and just tactical, and listen to the Russ Clark Show. So, you know, again, as we're sitting here, you know, you said the stock market, and I have not gotten an update. It's like I don't get...
It's been volatile.
I don't get internet here. It's the weirdest thing. Do you have blockers in here?
No, we have internet.
Okay. Are you sure? Is it dial-up? Do you have to connect to one of those modems still screeches?
No, we get it. But it's been volatile. It was down 1,200 and it bought 600 back, and then it's been all over the place.
Okay.
And right now it's down 1,400.
Okay.
And then when I talked to you earlier and said it was up 600, now that 600 is completely back gone and then some.
Hmm.
Yeah, it's all over the place. It's down 3.52 right now. But and give it another 20 minutes, we don't know where it's going to be.
So, again, that emotionalness of down 600, down 1,400, you know, the fundamentals didn't change.
And I'm just talking the Dow, but Standard & Poor's 500 is down 4, NASDAQ's down almost 4. And Nikkei index down 4, S&P Global down 4.29. Tesla is down 9.28, but it hasn't hit its low mark.
Nope.
It's at $242. It was at $220 not too long ago.
And again, here's where I look at that. And, you know, I'm going to say the word wish. I hate the word wish, but I wish I had $5 billion and I could just go start.
Yeah, you can make it two.
Yeah. No, but you would look at the non-emotionalness and go, the fundamentals of X company, whatever X is, that didn't change. But the emotional, look at what happened with GameStop. Remember the whole GameStop thing?
Yeah. It just exploded and died.
Did anything with the company's fundamentals change in any of those swings? It was trader push and emotional response and then short coverings that drove everything one direction. It had nothing to do with the company. Yeah. And that's what it's interesting to me that you look at the stock market move right now, it has nothing to do with the company. It's everything to do with the emotionalness in the market for the people who are trying to push the price one way or the other, which is why I promise you, I'm going to go download those two apps that I found this morning that allow you and I to track congressional stock trading, and I would love to see who's putting money into what items. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So unless you have that right there. Looks like you're reading something right now.
No, I'm just looking at the stock market in general. And I guess I look at the stories and what people's writing because, you know, they're looking for an emotional response, too. The people that are writing about it. You know, the stocks tumble because of Trump tariffs and stuff like that. And it's not that the headlines are wrong. I mean, it's true, but it's because of the emotional reaction to Trump's tariff.
Right.
Not
very correct. And now you say, wait a minute, let's look at the adjectives and adverbs that we throw into every sentence. Now, repeat what you just said.
Yeah.
You said stocks tumble on Trump tariff, you know, just a made up headline.
Because of the Trump tariffs, which is true, essentially, you know, it's not false, but it's really not complete. And the complete would be the emotional reaction to Trump's tariffs, not due to anything but the emotional reaction at this point.
So the company stocks that fell are not the ones that are going to be tariffed per se.
Not necessarily. And that's when people, investors like Edward and stuff are focused and they're looking at 20 screens and they're saying there's no reason for that one to be down by that.
Yeah.
You know.
But now, what's the stock market down in 2 days?
Probably about 8% or so.
Okay.
Right now.
So let's say 8%.
Uh-huh.
Russ, what was your weight at your height?
Probably 260, 270 maybe.
And what are you now?
195.
Okay, so you've lost 70 pounds, right?
Over time.
Okay, so 70 pounds of 260 is what? About 18%?
30, yeah.
So you're down 18%. Oh my gosh, your weight has tumbled. You must be about dead. You know, you look at things like that and go, wait a minute, a 4%, a 6%, a 2%.
Well, people have accused me of being sick.
Are you feeling okay? You look healthy. You must be sick.
And people have accused me of taking steroids.
Based on the size of your arms right now, that is absolutely not true. So no steroids for Russ Clark.
No steroids. the fact that I got healthy at all, though, and all that. But none. Yeah, it's just people's perceptions.
And here's the thing. If you're in the market for a home or a refinance, the last couple days have actually given you an opportunity to do something, right? If you're in the market for stocks, this might, you know, again, that's not my sign.
Yeah, it's something to look at, but you better know what you're doing. Don't just get emotional and go crazy.
You can't get emotional and go crazy. And like you said that Edward points out, you know, don't be willing to put money in that you can't afford
to
lose.
Only put that down. Yeah. Mm-hmm. He did write me that just to make sure that people understand that look.
And that's the way it should be, is the investment is long-term, unless you're super smart and you've got a ton of assets, this whole...
I don't think Edward knows what long-term is, because he's reading it. I mean, he does it professionally. He reads it every day.
And that's
what he does.
And you're a radio guy that does automotives.
Right.
I'm a mortgage guy that does real estate. That's not the market that I play in 50, 60 hours a week.
Right.
But you should be able to go, wow, the stock market reacted really emotionally. And that's why the mortgage market, you know, again, I'm already seeing people talk about, oh, see, we told you the mortgage market was going to get better. You knew that there was going to be a stock market correction based on tariffs that weren't even being talked about yet. But you're telling me we're being taxed with a break. Is that what you're telling me?
Yeah, it's a tariff break.
All right. Well, this is a tariff break. This is Money Talk AM 560 KBLU.
This is Derek Eggerberg, NMLS number 180899 with Mortgage One. When it comes to the biggest financial decisions of your life, you deserve expert guidance. At Mortgage One, we know a home loan is more than just numbers. It's part of your financial future. Our team's highly qualified professionals provide a complete mortgage analysis. We'll help you explore the available programs and options to fit your needs in today's marketplace. The Mortgage One team will work to blend your mortgage needs and compare cash to close and payment options with various programs in today's marketplace. Offering competitive interest rates to meet your needs. Again, Mortgage One, an equal housing lender, NMLS number 898812. Give us a call today at 928-483-LOAN, which is 928-483-5626. This is Derek Eggeberg, NMLS number 180899 with Mortgage One. When it comes to the biggest financial decisions of your life, you deserve expert guidance. At Mortgage One, we know a home loan is more than just numbers. It's part of your financial future. Our team's highly qualified professionals provide a complete mortgage analysis. We'll help you explore the available programs and options to fit your needs in today's marketplace. The Mortgage One team will work to blend your mortgage needs and compare cash to close and payment options with various programs in today's marketplace. Place offering competitive interest rates to meet your needs. Again, Mortgage One, an equal housing lender, NMLS number 898812. Give us a call today at 928-483-LOAN, which is 928-483-5626. Watch out, Yuma. Money Talk AM 560 KBLU burning down the house here with Russ Clark in studio.
That's what I feel like.
Yeah, hey, I appreciate you having a song this break. Last break, not so much.
Nice.
Again, here's the thing. We love to joke and even be sarcastic about some of this stuff because I'd rather tell it like I see it. And again, this is just from my seat on the bus. I think I've got a pretty good grasp on it. But it's my opinion.
It's what you do.
And it's my seat on the bus that goes, hey, wait a minute. You know, the stock market crashed for a couple of days, corrected, if you will. And that's what forced a lot of money into the bond market. And if you were thinking of purchasing or refinancing last week, interest rates could be, let's call it a half a point better tomorrow. Right? And when I say tomorrow, because I don't know where the market's going to end up at the end of today, which is a Friday. Emotionally, what does everybody typically do with their money when there's an issue? They park it and go away for the weekend. Yeah. So if you're hoarding your money and parking it, which the stock market's down, if they're going to hoard their money and park it into bonds over the weekend, right, does that mean that mortgage rates probably will finish the day at the best levels they've been at in 6 months? Yeah. Now, does it mean interest rates are down 2%? Not a snowball's chance. Nope. Not even remotely close. Why did the mortgage rates get so much better during COVID?
Because
the Federal Reserve bought all of the bonds, mortgage-backed securities, corporate bonds, even junk bonds. You basically had your rich uncle with the unlimited checkbook that bought everything, every piece of candy on the shelf. That's why. So do you see the Federal Reserve stepping in to artificially drop rates?
Not now.
No. There's no reason for them to do. The only thing that is happening right now is this is, when I say private money, corporate money, that is coming into the bond market that is making these investments more attractive because of the safety and stability of where the mortgage market is now. Go back, and here's the other fearful question I get a lot. Oh, my gosh, do you remember when the mortgage industry blew up in 07 and 08?
Yep.
Yeah, when everybody was offering 100% financing on investment loans with stated income, no asset, no employment. Literally, if you had a pulse and you could fog a mirror, you could get a loan. Okay. Are those programs out there right now?
Mm-mm.
No. So does the mass market have access to 100% financing, just make up a number, investment properties?
No.
No. Most investors are putting 20, 25% down, even more. You see capital going into the real estate market, but it is interesting to me that you see a lot of big-time nationwide salesmen that are pitching real estate courses and doing stuff like that. Great. What does that tell you? There's lots of money in it. There's lots of opportunity in it, and the market isn't going to crash because if the market was going to crash, would they be pitching people to buy all this stuff right now? I mean, I guess they could from a salesman's perspective.
Salesmen don't care. they're just doing sales.
Right. But you look around and you say, okay, wait a minute. Tactically, the money from the stock market is flowing into bonds. The reason the mortgage market, the interest rates are coming down is because the price of that bond has gone up, become worth more to the investors. And over the next probably 3 to 4 days, today's a good time. If you're going to put something under contract, I would be locking interest rates. Or if I'm going to look at refinancing, I had people that a week ago, I said, no, it's not quite right. We need about another quarter point in rate, another, half a point to point in cost. And then I would say it makes sense to do it because your recoupment period a week ago is not right. I called two people yesterday, said, you know what? If the market does this again today, we're starting today because the recoupment period, you're going to get that refinance paid back in about 16 months. What's the national average?
I don't know.
36 to 60 months? I don't like that. I don't like it taking 3 to 5 years to pay back the recoupment of a refinance. Mm-hmm. If I can get it under 24, I'm thrilled. This guy now, it's going to be under 18 months. So under 16, you know, a year and a half, 16 months, he's going to have all of the cost to refinance paid back. And I'm talking title, appraisal.
And then his the net gain of having his payment better. You know.
The net gain is you know, unlimited because now there's nothing invested in it. Now, if interest rates continued to go down, let's say in another year or two interest rates were even lower.
Could happen.
If it's more than 16 months down the road, it still didn't cost you anything to refinance, so you're not going to be grumpy about refinancing again. It's wouldn't you rather ride the escalator down for little to no cost than paying huge chunks of money up front to artificially buy it down to then feel like you're wasting it?
Yeah, and I don't know how much his actual payment went down, a couple hundred bucks a month or something?
$337.
All right. Well, if you put that off for 10 months, that's $3,000 that you spent more of, you know. So figure it out. You're saving money all along. So
let's go back. Non-emotional tactical conversations. If you or somebody you know wants to have a non-emotional tactical conversation about what's right for you, call me, call Rosa, call Bill. We'll sit down and have those conversations. That's what we love to do. It does not matter whether we do one more refinance or purchase a month. We're okay. Mm-hmm. But helping other people make good tactical decisions, that's what's fun about this. So if you sit in the office for an hour and a half and we have great conversations, my guess is you're going to feel comfortable. You're going to have more knowledge of what's going on in the marketplace. And then maybe you can correct some of your friends and family members that are, you know, chicken little. Oh, my gosh, the sky is falling.
I know those people.
You know. And
but they're like that every day almost.
About almost everything.
There's going to be something going on. Even if the stock goes up, it says, well, it's in danger of crashing. It's going up too fast or something. Right. You know, there's always a negative.
So, again, from all of us, Mortgage One, KBL Yuma, we can't have these conversations without some men and women in the military. And you look at all of this silliness, emotionalness that happens, there's a group of men and women who still dedicate their lives to protecting this country, even if you believe something that they don't. You know what I mean? And
I think it's a great career path, and I like the way it feels right now. I saw Pete Hegseth the other day throwing a football around with Annapolis guys, where you know just they look like men now, you know, and they're throwing the football, and there's a positive, and recruitment's way up, and people want to belong to it, and they feel good about the country and want to protect it. That's awesome.
So to the men and women who are serving, to the men and women who have served before, if you know generations past of your family protected this country. Thank you for allowing us to have these radio shows and do the things in a community like Yuma that we can be free and we can celebrate one another and we can actually support one another. And again, from a common sense perspective, I appreciate the fact, Russ, of how you treat the military men and women that take their vehicles to your shop, that you give them, and I've watched it, you give them honest advice and you don't try to pad things. And unlike some organizations, you know, you're there for them when they need it, not the other way around. So from all of us, have an amazing weekend. Stay safe. And thank you to our brave men and women in these United States of America.
The preceding show on 560 KBLU was a paid program. All opinions expressed by the program participants are solely their current opinions and do not reflect the opinions of 560 KBLU, El Dorado Broadcasters LLC, their respective parent companies or affiliates, or the companies with which the program participants are affiliated and may have been previously disseminated by them. The program participants' opinions are based upon information they consider reliable, but neither 560 KBLU El Dorado Broadcasters LLC nor its affiliates nor the companies with which such participants are affiliated warrant its completeness or accuracy, and it should not be relied upon as such.
This is News Talk 560 KBLU, Yuma.